News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Sunday, the 11th of January, and I haven't even had a...
Did you bring the rum balls?
Yes, I did.
All right, I haven't even had one yet. Anno Domini 2009, you lucky or maybe not people.
I think you missed saying the number 11.
No, I said 11.
Oh,
11th
okay.
of January. And we are Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
Alex Vanderweil.
And it is 6 minutes after the hour, and we are just plain ready to go.
They're
all
fermented.
Right. Oh, excellent.
They've been out in the car refrigerated, fermenting that much more all week.
Nice. Nice.
I have to ask. My mother wants the recipe now.
Okay.
You take a bottle of rum, and you squeeze it into a ball.
Yeah. And you sugarcoat it. You're done. That's it.
No, and you have to bake them over.
I'll print you out the recipe.
Bake them over a fire. That's ignited with the wood from a barrel that's been fermenting the rum.
Exactly. If you can get one from the...
Barbados,
right.
I took some home, and Shirley said, I don't taste any rum in this, and proceeded to eat the whole bag.
Oh, excellent.
So I didn't get any.
And if she lives, we're going to put her in the Hall of Fame.
See, I would think you would have three things in front of you. You'd have the bottle of rum, you'd have the vanilla wafers, and you'd have the sugar.
Right.
You kind of... pick and choose from either. You got all the rum, eat the vanilla wafer, and you have the sugar, and there's your rum ball, basically.
Yeah, right. Sit there, take a swig, dip the vanilla wafer in the sugar, eat that, you're done.
It could be a ritual like a tequila.
Exactly. Right, right. Yeah. Put the sugar on your hand, in the web of your thumb there, and
No, I've got the recipe, and I will print it off and bring it next week for you.
Great, thank you.
There you go.
No problem.
My mother thanks you, too.
And pretty soon all your friends, when you realize you can't eat more than one or two and you're handing them around, it'll be here, you take some of these.
No. You're staying with me.
All right. Microsoft has postponed broad availability of the first Windows 7 beta in order to keep up with anticipated download demand. I think it's actually up now.
Isn't it already on BitTorrent?
But I wrote this yesterday. Yeah. According to reports, both Windows 7 download page and Microsoft.com were intermittently unreachable earlier yesterday, as would-be downloaders angled for position. The Microsoft spokes individual has confirmed that the site saw unusually heavy traffic Saturday morning. Chief Executive Steve Ballmer said on Wednesday that the beta build 7000 would be made available to the public on Friday. The build was released to subscribers in the company's MSDN and TechNet sites on Wednesday. Microsoft said Friday afternoon, though, that it's adding additional infrastructure, which likely means servers, to Microsoft.com before it posts the beta. Due to very heavy traffic we're seeing as a result of interest in the Windows 7 beta, we're adding some additional infrastructure support to the Microsoft.com properties before we post the public beta, spokes individual said. Microsoft's Windows blog said it is adding additional infrastructure to ensure customers have the best possible experience when downloading the beta, since that will be the last good experience. I'm sorry. I have no idea what that meant. I beg your pardon. I surely don't know. All right. And
Nick, are you prejudiced?
Not I. And of course, that is our poll of the week. The question is, are you waiting for Windows 7? The choices are, with bated breath, well, I'm curious, but not yellow. Nobody will get that but us. Yeah, nobody else is going to get that. It's all about XP, baby. Macintosh forever. And the Linux for the win, FTW. And so far we have 90 votes. 32% of you think it's all about XP. 28% say they're curious but not yellow. 22% are all about Linux. 10% about the Mac. And a mere 7 of you are waiting with bated breath. Now, of course, we know that you're not just going to want to push, particularly when it comes to the Windows 7 concept. So you'll have a lot more to say. Well, you can say some of it by taking a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you. And you'll be able to put in an opinion. 255 characters is the maximum. And so far, seven of you have done so. I have the question here is, what are your thoughts on the upcoming Windows 7? And please keep it clean, or I'll just have to remove them, and it will annoy me. That's all.
You get so embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm so easily embarrassed. But I do try to keep, because we have kids who listen, and I, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I keep that the way it is. And then, of course, while you're there, check out my website at asknick.com. I do the newsletter and the forums that I have there, and there's a search thing where you can search all the newsletters and rants and raves and tips and tricks that I've put out there. It's worth a mere $15 a year, I think, and I hope you think so, too.
I know it is.
Thank you. Yes, you do. Thank you very much. And then come on back and check out what's going on at soundbites.org. In the meantime, we might as well take a phone call. We have Tom. Tom, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Walcott.
Ah, Walcott. Okay, what's up, Tom?
I've got Zone Alarm. Two different computers. I'm getting some error messages. What I usually do is go out and find out what these things are and then try to figure out why, whether they should be going to the internet or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What I got is WMIPRVSE.exe. And that was a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what that was exactly. It seemed like I needed the program, but I didn't see any reason for it to be going out to the internet.
Windows Management Instrumentation manages information and control in an enterprise environment.
Yeah, that is one of the many Microsoft programs that run in the background. We have no idea what they do. And Microsoft won't tell us beyond the cryptic sort of description
that's just the description makes no sense that you can.
Well, it's, there's a lot of them.
Any reason well, it sounds I like allow it's... it to go to the internet?
Well, it is a built-in Windows program.
Yeah.
So something else may break if you don't.
Yeah.
It looks like it's related to one of those control programs where you want to see what software everyone on your network is running and manage it and be able to install new updates.
Oh, okay. The other one is, it was after this latest monthly visitor, was the svchost.exe.
Yeah.
Everything uses service hosts. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of processes that call service
hosts. Anything that goes to the internet uses service hosts. Anything.
Oh, okay. So I should allow that to, Zone Alarm to allow that one through.
Mm-hmm. Is this a personal machine or a work machine?
Personal.
Hmm.
Yeah, the danger with service host is that bad programs can use it too, and you have no idea if it's a bad program or good program calling service host, which is weird. Now, are you running XP Home or XP Pro?
XP Home, and mm-hmm. I run it on the use an administrator account, which I never use. I use a user
standard,
account.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe XP Pro had that management thing in it, but apparently Home does too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, this only showed up after that big update that Windows sent out last time.
They probably updated that program for their corporate customers, and now Zone Alarm is seeing it as a new version of something and asking again.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Zone Alarm knows about certain programs, but if those programs change, which they are wont to do after an update, then, yeah, absolutely, you should find that Zone Alarm will ask.
Okay. One more thing?
Yeah.
1 hour is just not long enough for this show.
Well, thank you.
Nobody's got any money, so we
got to find
all those money shows.
we need the money shows because no one has any money,
exactly.
So we have to figure out what to do with a little
exactly.
we have.
Exactly, we have to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom, I appreciate it. All right, what I'd love to do is hear from people who have, in fact, downloaded the Windows 7 public beta. And their initial impressions, I realize you've only had it a day at most, but I would love to hear what people think.
Yeah, we're going to try doing it. Of course, we looked at it Friday, you know, and the site was just jammed.
Yeah.
So I figured, I'll wait until this coming week and
we'll
download it, throw it on another hard drive that I don't care if it blows up or whatever, which I expect it to. And that's the other thing you got to warn folks.
There you go.
Thank you. They got to definitely not put it on a machine that they care about. Can't stress that enough. If you go put it on a machine and it will break.
Expect it to break.
Yes. It's just going to be how long.
Put it on an experimental machine.
And, you know, if it loses stuff, you just get to try all over again. That's the fun of being a what they call beta tester. And that's what you are, is a beta tester.
That's right.
When you download this version.
Don't use it for production. If you only have one machine, don't put it on, because it will break.
Nick, what do you think about doing it under virtualization?
That's what I plan to do. Okay. I plan to do that on Monday.
You figure that's safe enough?
On my Linux box, throw it into a virtual box. Yeah, if it dies, I just kill the virtual process
right.
And I'm done. That's easy enough.
And we expect it not to look outside its own box.
If you're using the right products, it can't.
Well, it's not supposed to.
Right,
it's
right,
beta.
Right. Yeah. Right, there's that, right. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What fascinated me about that story is that Microsoft believed they had to put on, and obviously did have to put on, extra machines to handle the download. Is there such a desire to move off of XP but not go to Vista? Is it that big?
Oh, they're already got a plan in motion right now for the, if you have to buy Vista right now, that they will give you free upgrades, and they're already saying from July until a date to be determined, that you will be able to get a free upgrade to System 7. Because the downward slope of sales on Vista right now is so bad, it's unbelievable.
So you're saying if I want to buy a new machine, I wait till July when I can get the free upgrade?
Yep. Because the minute you get the Vista on the machine, you will automatically get a free upgrade to System 7.
See, I understand that. I understand people wanting to get off of XP because while it works so brilliantly, it is simply no longer secure. Microsoft is slowly not updating it. And that's obviously so that they can force you into buying new operating. I get all that. Okay. Also, a lot of new programs are doing things that just don't work well under XP. And a lot of XP machines are underpowered for some of the new stuff that people want to do. So... And, you know, if you've got an XP machine, it could be up to 7-8 years old, right? So maybe it is time to move along.
You might remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you about a customer who bought two new machines from Dell that came with Vista. And she called Dell and said, I want XP. So they sold her two retail shrink wrap boxes of XP, $200 each. And then she brought the computer to us to install. XP installs just fine. Except there's no Ethernet driver, there's no video driver, there's no sound driver.
Mm-hmm.
And she called back Dell, and they said, well, you didn't say that. You said you wanted XP, so we sold you XP.
Yeah.
So now she's trying to recoup the $500 she just spent on something she can't use.
And that well may be one of the reasons that Dell just laid off 700 zillion people in Ireland.
Yeah.
By the way, they haven't done it yet, but they are. The rumor is out there, and people are talking about... the fact that the entire Dell infrastructure in Ireland is going away. 30 years ago when they started it, Ireland was the least expensive and best place to do electronic circuits. But now it's somewhere in the Pacific Rim. And it, you know, and so now they're moving out of Ireland into the Pacific Rim somewhere. So we'll see. All right, our next caller is
Bob.
Bob from Rushville. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hey guys, I had a question about AOL email.
Yep.
Occasionally, I'll receive an email and the sender is myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very common in junk mail.
How did that happen?
When you send an email, it has your name in it. So it's very easy for the robots and bad guys to read email you send and pull your name out of it.
Is there danger to opening and reading?
Yeah, I would not open those. Yeah. If you didn't send a message to yourself, don't open it.
Yeah.
Do not open it.
Do not.
Correct.
I've been getting that myself. I've been getting things from webmaster at asknick.com.
The support team at justgroup.com has wanted me to tell you there's a problem in your account.
I don't.
Right.
I get it. The administrator of nwritepc.com
trying
to get in contact with you.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. That's me.
Yeah, so it's very common for spam and phishing and spoofing and... There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, so just ignore it and do not open it, particularly if you're on AOL, where if there is something that has, it's an HTML email system, so if the thing has HTML in it and it's trying to install something via HTML in the background, that would be very dangerous, so don't do it. All right, we are actually going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with... How do I not know what to say here? With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, who is doing just a yeoman job here today. I am Nick Francesco, and you are listening to the greatest... Oh, that's nice music in the background, by the way. That's very nice stuff. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites on 1180. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderwill.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, you know what that music means. Grab, get your footy jammies on, kids. Grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
This thing on?
It's on. Are you?
Yep. Okay, I just want to get something straight. It is on, right? Everybody can hear me?
I'm hearing you.
All right! I didn't recommend it!
Oh, that again?
All right, and what am I talking about? You have never heard me say, folks, never will, to install SpyGuard 2008. Hello? It's a scam. I've said, yes, you got to be leery of it, but I have never once ever uttered the word install it and use it.
I heard you talk about it on the show, so I installed it.
Yes. Exactly. Yep. I had a customer come in and swear up and down. And I said, oh, yes, use it. I said, no. See, it's selective hearing.
There are so many fake programs now.
There is no age barrier for selective hearing. It can be the very young and the very old. But, you know, they get in there and they just pick out what they want to do. And I, you know, we'll sit there and say, okay, use AVG, which we recommend, Zone Alarm, Super Anti-Spyware, and Malware Bytes. You can also still use the SpyBot and the Anaware. They're
right.
Still
now,
good.
Right. Now, you got. See, we got to be a little closer there. It's SpyBot Search and Destroy is the good one.
Right.
Anti-Spyware Bot Search and Destroy is the bad one.
Well,
the
there's
fake
also,
one.
There's also this other one now that's going around. This is what the customer was accused me of, is SpyGuard. SpyGuard is the new one. And I'll tell you what, folks.
The new fake one.
Yes. If you get this Trojan and sign up for it, forget it. Getting it off your machine is the worst nightmare come true. We've had some machines infected with it so bad, we had to turn around and literally pull the hard drive out of the machine. It has to come out of the machine, first run it through, because it literally locks down everything. Can't get into the control panel. You can't get out to the internet. It just totally hoses everything. So again, do not use or sign up for SpyGuard 2008. It's the latest scam out there, and it's averaging $39.95. Because I had another customer say, well, how do I get my money back? You're not going to.
And cancel your credit card so they can't steal anymore.
Yeah, because this company goes, well, why don't they go after them? Hello, they're usually over in Nigeria or South Africa, or there's a big Russian group that is pulling this scam and soaking out. So our government can't do squat. You know, $29.95 and $39.95 here and there.
Yeah, that's the problem. Each individual theft is such a piddlingly small amount that no agency wants to get involved with it.
Yeah, and
but if you probably don't have jurisdiction.
Right. Right. Who has jurisdiction over international, you know, the State Department?
And
right?
They're literally making millions off of you folks. So we can't stress enough. If you have to think about it, don't. Do not sign up for any of this stuff that's going to sit there and say, oh, we will clean up your machine because you're infested. No. Step away from the machine.
And step away from the microphone.
Thank you.
All right, kiddies, that's it. Put your mugs in the sink. Take off your footy jammies. And if we can get the drugs in them, we're going to put Uncle Dave down for another week. I probably should have phrased that a little better. And we're back to regular sound bites. We have Ron from Webster on the line. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, how are you doing today, guys?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. I've got a HP Pavilion that's about 18 months old, and my DVD reader started messing up, and it won't read anything any longer, and it just seems to churn away and away. And my question is this something that can be fixed, checked and fixed in a shop? Or is it just better to just kind of take it out and buy something new?
If you're lucky, you can try one of the drive cleaning kits, because it may just be the lens has gotten dusty.
How many discs have you tried to read?
Oh, half a dozen or so.
Okay. 10 to 1 odds, you know, that's whole trouble. Now, and it's getting to be, you know, I mean, it's not that the the DVDs or drives are, you know, bad or, you know, that bad. It's what happened, like, with the floppies. The material the floppies are made of, because they're making them, you know, you can buy a bulk of 100 DVDs and or CDs for like $19-$20. The materials are getting cheaper, so they're, you know, let's say they're okay for the stuff that you're doing, but they have to a tendency to put more wear and tear on the actual physical drives.
And they're getting less reliable, so something you burn today might not be readable in 6 months.
You know, and it can be a little out of warp, you know, out of round and everything else, that they can put more stress on the drives, causing them to wear out faster. Yeah. So you probably better just to go pick up a drive. You know, there's four screws that hold it in. Just make sure you set it to the right jumper. If it's a slave drive, make sure it's still a slave. Or, you know, a cable select.
Yeah, I see. Okay, great.
Okay.
I do have to admit that even though it's out of warranty, so I can admit that I may have broken this myself by putting in two discs at once.
Oh, there you
go. Would that do it?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
definitely.
It can.
I see.
Yeah,
okay,
the head,
guys.
Yep.
The reader head was forced down.
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big thing in slot loading drives. If you don't realize there's already a disc in there, you push one in and keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big problem with slot loading drives rather than a tray loading drive is you can't use the odd sized ones or odd shaped one.
Right.
You have to use the full 12 centimeter disc.
Well, that's where I've also had folks with the old floppies when there was labels and all that in there, or the little metal part.
Yeah, you never peeled the label
shoving,
off.
Trying to shove in another.
Just put
floppy.
More and more labels on it.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Our next caller is Ginny. From Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My question concerns the address bar in Internet Explorer.
Yes.
If I type in the addresses myself, when you click on the little down arrow, they'll appear. If I go to my favorite sites and click on addresses, I can't get those addresses to appear in the drop-down.
They're
arrow.
Two entirely separate things. The little drop-down area remembers what you typed in. If you want something saved as a favorite, you have to add it to the favorites list yourself.
Correct. And when I click on a favorite from that list and go to a site,
yes,
it used to reappear in that drop-down arrow, and now it does not.
Yeah, that's a change Microsoft made.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. But if you want something to be saved as a favorite, you have to specifically save it that way. They're now two entirely separate things.
Oh, okay.
It takes what you typed and not necessarily what just appears there.
Oh, okay, fine.
That's why I like the other feature in Firefox is as you start to type, it makes it best guess, and it'll show up to like 15, or you can have it show up as many places as you want as you're typing it. So you can just click,
it's almost doing a Google search while you're typing an address to figure out what you think
and
you meant to type.
And it not only gives you what you the address, but it also gives you the first line of like what it's about.
Yes, and it used to do that, and all of a sudden it stopped doing that.
Try using Firefox.
Instead of Internet Explorer.
Oh, you'll love
they've
better
made some
and
changes.
Less chances of you getting hacked.
And if you do use Firefox, can you still revert back to Internet Explorer?
Yes, they're completely separate. The big thing is, when you install Firefox, one of the things that will ask you is, do you want to import stuff from Internet Explorer? You say yes.
Okay.
But from then on, anything you put in one will not be in the other.
Will not go in the other.
Because they are entirely separate products.
I guarantee you, once you go over to Firefox, you won't want to go back to Internet Explorer. You don't get all the pop-ups.
It's a fair offer.
Yep.
There you go.
Give it a shot. I mean, worst case scenario, if you don't like it, you can uninstall it.
That's true.
You can't IE.
It's just another software program, correct?
Right.
Correct.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, our next caller is Keith from Greece, New York. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
Hello, gentlemen. I encountered a problem on my PC. It started a couple days ago, and I've got it in front of me at the moment. I am using PeoplePC as my internet service provider. We don't use the system a lot.
Right.
But currently I have Bart Shell module pop up in front of me. Bart Shell module has encountered a problem and needs to close. We are sorry for the inconvenience. And then it asks if you want to send the error report to Microsoft, then you send the error report, and it just basically takes you offline. And we haven't been able to get online through PeoplePC for a couple days now.
Bart Shell module, B-A-R-T?
Correct.
Huh.
Browsed around a little bit on the internet, and it wasn't real encouraging. Apparently, more than a couple people have had this. It appears to be something with People PC.
Yeah, it is.
And they have not, from what I've been reading, been very encouraging or helpful to some of the other people that have had the same issue. There's been a number of fixes I've looked at and tried to no avail. I've yet to call People PC. They don't generally help you out a whole heck of a lot, but I thought you guys might have a little...
Yeah, it's a corrupt file in their software.
Okay.
You need to call the People PC people because you're going to have to delete their software, download from them a Visual Basic script,
okay,
run that, then reinstall their software.
All right.
So the problem is not you. The problem is their end.
All right.
It's associated with their Internet Explorer toolbar and all of that stuff. So
okay. All right.
I'm afraid that's what you're going to have to do.
Appreciate the help.
Sure. Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Chris from Gates.
Chris.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I have some 3.5-inch floppies that have pictures on them, and they were from Windows 98. Of course, my computer now is XP, and when I put those disks in, all the pictures are upside down. Now, what I want to do is put it on a thumb drive so I can use them or get access to them at another time because I have an external floppy. I mean, I have an external that's allowing me to see what's on these 3.5
sure
inch disks, but it's not mine. I've just borrowed it.
All right. Here's
go ahead.
Yeah, here's what you should probably do. Copy them all to your hard drive.
Okay.
Then you need to run any one of a dozen programs that will let you flip them.
Picasa.
Oh, okay.
Picasa will do it, certainly. IrfanView, IrfanView, which I'm sure is in our...
Yeah, even MS Paint might do it.
Maybe, but I wouldn't trust Paint.
Do you know what program you're viewing the thumbnails with, or the pictures with now?
Well, I'm just in my Kodak thing, whatever that is.
That should let
Kodak
you flip
Easy
them.
Share? Yeah, there should be a flip command in there, too.
It does, but it takes so long to flip them all.
Well, that's because they're still on the, floppy.
Which is an incredibly slow device.
Right. If you copy them all to your hard drive, they'll be a little faster. But yes, you're going to have to do each one individually, and it is going to take a little bit of time. But the good news is you'll only have to do it once.
I think
there should be a batch command.
I think in Picasa, you can select a bunch of them and rotate them all at once.
I bet IrfanView has a batch command,
too. Rotate them all at once, but it still takes forever, you know, kind of thing. So I would
There's no... Unless you put them on a bigger, faster machine, Chris, there's no fix for that.
Okay. I just didn't know there was any fast way to do it.
No, I'm sorry. Start it in the morning and come back in the evening.
Or start it at night and go to bed.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, that's interesting. I wonder why they're all flipped.
Never heard of that before.
I have never heard of that. That's funny. I'm sorry.
I wonder.
It's funny to me.
I wonder if her Easy Share. I've seen some of these programs flip as a check mark, not a command. View it flipped versus flipping it, and I wonder if she has it viewed flipped.
Oh, that's a good question, Chris. If you're still listening, check to see that
you don't have
viewed flipped.
Why would she?
Why would she not be listening? That's exactly right. She may have run her machine to get things started.
That's why.
Yeah.
But yeah, check to see that you're not simply viewing it flipped.
Yeah, open it in a different program and see if it's also flipped there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, our next caller, Ellen of Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ellen. What's your question?
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
The question I have, first of all, I just want to tell you I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
The question I have is, lately I've been going to Google. I go to Google a lot. And when I type in the normal Yahoo. I go to Yahoo, and I type in www.yahoo.com. It comes up with www.m.yahoo.com. And I get into it, and it looks like a normal screen, but it looks different. There's something about it that is not the same as what I've been normally looking at before.
Yahoo has been messing with their, I don't mean messing, they've been altering the look of their homepage over the past several weeks.
I think this is their mail and messenger thing. Somehow you got a cookie set, and I don't use Yahoo, so I can't tell you how it got set, but you got a cookie set that says When I go, do you use Yahoo for your mail?
Yes, I do.
That's probably what happened at some point. Because you can click right on mail or messenger right here from this screen, this M screen, and yeah, you will then see you go immediately to your mail or to your messenger.
How do I change that so it goes back to normal?
That you probably do somewhere in your settings.
Yeah, probably with one of the updates you selected to have this as your default. You're going to have to go back through there and look around in the tools and that for it.
But the Yahoo options, I would guess.
Right.
Because there's also the my.yahoo.com, which lets you customize the front page and see what news stories you want.
Right, and you may have said it. You got to look in those places, and I'm sorry, I don't do Yahoo, so I can't lead you right to it.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck, Ellen, thanks.
Thank you, Becca.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes.
Before we do that, Jamie called in and said you can view them in Slideshow and flip the pictures there.
This is for Chris.
For the Chris call. That you can, in a slideshow.
In the Windows slideshow, when you open a window, one of the options is film strip.
Yep.
To view it, the window as.
And flip them.
All right. So there you go.
So there's another
one. Does that view it flip or does that flip them?
It probably just views them flipped.
Yeah.
All right. What you may be doing, if she follows my advice, then is flipping them all the wrong way permanently.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that, of course, is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller is Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Listen, I may have an overlapping problem here. Let me start with the one. I'm running XP Media District 2005. And I'm getting a spooler error every time I boot up. And it started after I installed some drivers for our HP LaserJet 4000. Okay, yeah, I know. I'm suspicious of that, too. And let me go a little one step further and give you guys all the information. On top of it, he has an onboard network card, 600N. And it gives you a universal, I didn't have the drivers, I got this printer used that I did some work on to get it running back again, nothing electronically. And my suspicions are, I don't know if I've got the wrong drivers on a network card, I don't know if I have a conflict with something running on my system. On top of what I have is I'm running pro version of Microsoft Office 2003. And it doesn't, when I print to this printer, it doesn't allow me to open up another document so I can multitask to other printers. It's almost like it stalls Microsoft Word and it comes up with non-responsive. Sometimes you have to close out the file and reopen
right.
it again
yeah.
to get it to respond.
That's mainly because of the spooler error itself. The spooler is the thing that takes your file and spools it off into the background and prints it from there while you go on to do other things. If there's
right.
a spooler error, then you can't do that.
Well, yes, and well, the thing is, I'm getting it on boot up, but I agree with you, and I've gone through the prompts under properties to try to turn off the spooler, unless I'm missing something. I mean, I consider myself somewhat of a hobbyist and a computer guru, but I'm missing something. And maybe you guys know where I'm missing.
I don't think you can turn off the spooler.
No,
you wouldn't want to if you could.
Yeah, no.
Well,
except for testing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but see, I've got about 8 meg, about probably 32 meg and onboard RAM for each of these printers. On top of it, I've got some old HP 4s and 5s that I've used printer servers to that are workhorses. But I can't figure out why I have this spooler error that just come up. And is it due to the 4000? Is it due to something that got loaded?
We see a lot of times it's competing drivers. If you have several printers from the same company, you have to load drivers for each of those printers. So say you have an HP 3000, 4000, 5000. Sometimes those drivers fight with each other and end up causing more problems.
Now, is this a 4000 NT?
This is a 4000N, and but you open it up inside, it says it's a 4120, and there's no driver for 4120.
Right.
The only drivers that are available.
The problem that you're having is a registry problem.
Well, yeah, and that's what I thought, and what I did is I went through and used some registry software to clean the registry, and I don't know if that helped or not. Let me throw one more thing in to insult to injury. I'm using print servers that are actually by a couple different companies to run some of these HP 4 that I don't have an onboard network card for, and I don't know if that is... I've never had a...
Well, problem. You've got so much stuff. Is this all on one machine?
Well, yes.
You got so network. Much crap stuck in that machine. It's a wonder it worked at all. I mean, you've got to pick one spooler and stick with it.
Well, no, this is what I'm trying to eliminate. I didn't have a problem until I brought this 4000 machine on board.
Right, and what it's probably done is corrupted the registry.
Yeah, because it wants to use it.
When you uninstall the 4000, what happens? Does it work again?
No, I haven't done that yet, but I have swapped some drivers to see what happens. And
uninstall the 4000.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, then you might need to go muck about in the registry. I'm certainly not recommending that.
Uninstall every printer,
mm-hmm.
and then reinstall only one and see what happens.
Well, right, but I have a small business office that I have quite a bit of stuff running in the network. Too, and you're thinking that because of them, I'm probably running in this one location, I would say, realistically, probably 10 different printers for different processes.
Yeah, you might, clearly you've got an amazing amount of stuff running on one machine. Clearly you've somehow corrupted the registry. Now, the fact that it happened during the HP 4000 setup, that's coincidental.
Okay.
You've corrupted the registry, and there is a way to fix it. It's at support.microsoft.com/KB, which is short for knowledge base, /810894.
Okay.
And Steve will have that up on our website in a moment.
Oops. 810894, okay, you said?
Yeah.
And by going into that, what is that?
Well, you'll be removing some files. You'll be mucking about in the registry. It's very, very intrusive. But
take your time and read it carefully.
You know, I'm not recommending that you do this, but you've already been in the registry, so you're not afraid of that.
No, I'm not too much worried.
I would worry about backing up everything you've already got on that machine, and I mean everything, and back it up twice, because if you kill the registry, that machine is dead.
Well, I understand. I've already got 3 terabytes of hard drives running my system that I normally mirror and back up everything.
All right.
On a weekly basis.
Good
anyways,
man.
But, and I don't like getting into registries too much. I have some familiarity, but I make
But when you've got that many many things running on a machine that's not dedicated to doing print serving, and you install something else, particularly, I hate to say it, from HP, because their printers are phenomenal, their software sucks.
Well, you will have this problem. Yeah, I've always been an HP person, and to be honest with you, I don't like their new all-in-one, but they're old HP lasers. I'm talking a commercial end. They're 4s, they're 4Ms, they're 5s.
They're wonderful, but I don't like their software because it takes over your machine.
Well, yeah, because yes, exactly.
And if you've got 10 or 12 different machines in there, and they're all trying to take over the machine, I'm surprised you hadn't gotten corruption before now. Listen, Steve, we got to move on. Try that and let us know what happens.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too, Steve.
You too.
Thanks. Our next caller is Randy from Hamilton, New York. Welcome, Randy. Oh,
hey,
New York. I don't even think there is a Hamilton, New York.
Hamilton, Ontario, but no.
Yeah, right.
I come from Hamilton, New York, though. Hey, I was wondering, when I log on, I'm getting a error that says I need to debug. What does that mean?
What is the error exactly?
Yeah.
It says log on error. Would you like to, I think it says, run the debugger?
Yeah, if you wrote the program that crashed, then the debugger will help you figure out what you did wrong. Otherwise it's worthless.
When I hit yes, it says no data file.
Right.
You got something running in the background there in the either the startup program or in the startup toolbar that's trying to run another program.
Okay.
And you can go into either the startup folder, or if you go to the start line, go to run and type in msconfig, go up to the startup tab, and look for anything that you know might be relative to this error.
Okay.
That isn't really needed. The nice thing about doing things in the startup msconfig there, you can uncheck it and, I needed that. You can go back in and recheck it. But there's a lot of stuff that gets preloaded, like JavaScripts. You don't need that running all the time unless you're startup and, an incident, say Firefox, that type of stuff, or sound recorder wants to run, Adobe Reader, it puts itself in the startup. A lot of those you can uncheck.
Okay.
Sometimes the CD burner will also put stuff in there saying, oh, you want to burn? You want to burn? You know, and it keeps checking and checking.
I really hate the fact that so many programs try to take over your machine. Yep. I hate that.
Oh, we go through there in the startup toolbar.
Well, that's because that's leftover from DOS days when there was only one program running and it knew it had control of everything.
Right.
Well, that was 30 years ago. Give up.
Right. All right, Randy, give that a try and let us know.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Now, before we move on to another call, before I forget, we have announcements as to what's going off this week. Chris?
Yeah, I'll be giving a talk on audio processing and editing to the Rochester, the Windows user group, the Microsoft.
Rochester Computer Society Incorporated.
That's the one. Yes, thank you. This is Tuesday evening at the Brighton Town Library on Elmwood Avenue. Don't know the time. Look it up on the website. But I'm meeting with the fellas this afternoon to arrange all the final details, like what time it'll be. So I'll be on time. Again, Tuesday evening, audio processing and editing. I'll be giving the presentation.
And then when you're done with that, you have 24 hours to get to the next presentation.
Yeah, the Wednesday night meeting at the Apple Cider Users Group at East High School, corner of Main and Culver. We've got some guy called Nick Francesco coming in.
Oh, my God, don't show up. You got a free Wednesday night, everybody. Go home, relax, not a problem.
So we're going to be talking about internet safety, internet security, and a lot of people want to know about the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement that we've talked about on the show, which gives customs and border agents the ability to confiscate your laptops if they think you're stealing music.
Right. So we'll talk about all of that and concepts for getting past it and things like that. But if you're really, really, really bored on Wednesday night, East High School to listen to me talk about security and safety. Tuesday night.
Ohio Street entrance, I should
by the Ohio Street, to that. By
Tuesday
the
night
tower.
is the must-see presentation by Chris, and Wednesday night is the, I've already had a sharp stick in my eye, so I might as well go to this.
I'm doing something like that in March.
Where?
For the Yacht Club.
Let us know as we get closer.
As it comes up, yeah. I know tentatively it's for March 11th at 11 o'clock, and as I get more information, be bringing that up.
Right. All right. We have, I think, time for Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi. I've been a customer of Uncle Dave for about the last 3 years, but I have a question. I have a Barracuda external hard drive, and I have it's in a USB caddy I bought from CompUSA, and all of a sudden, it just stopped working, except if I turn it on, the USB recognizes it, but the disk doesn't show up, and it just doesn't work. The light is on on the caddy and like that. I was just wondering, because God, that was such a beautiful external hard disk, and it ran.
And how long have you had it?
About 3 or 4 years. Yeah. No longer than 4 years. I kind of forgot.
The hard drive might have just died.
It happens. Hard drives are not really rated for a whole lot more than 5 years.
Yeah, it was. Google found in their study the hard drives have about a 20% per year failure rate.
Right.
Well, if I was to bring it over to Dave, do you think he could do something with it?
We'll give it a shot. If it's spinning up.
Well, I don't know if it is or not.
Well, bring it over. We'll take a look at it and see if it's spinning up, whether we can get anything off of it for you.
Because I called your office, and the girl that I was talking to told me that sometimes it's the caddy itself.
Yep, sometimes
it could be. Bring it in, he'll take a look at it. We got to run, Roger.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. That music tells me we're done. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. I want to thank everyone who called in. We're done for another week. I specifically want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, who just did an unbelievable job back there. She's wonderful. And she's got her little footy slippers on, and she's a happy girl. Look at her, smiling. I'm Nick Francesco. You have indeed been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. Join us next week as we bring you a whole lot more of the same sort of nonsense you heard today on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.